Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday evening, Spanish for Utah, and thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback. My email is at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder, acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about becoming a hero of faith. Many people have average faith, ordinary faith. Average faith says, Lord, help me to survive this recession. Lord, help me to cope with this sickness. Help me to make my house payment. If you're a devotee, help me to open a Krishna Conscious Center, a small storefront somewhere. Extraordinary faith says, Lord, even in the recession, I know that you'll help me to prosper. When you have extraordinary faith, you will believe not only to pay your house off, but maybe in addition to paying your house off, start a nonprofit, buy a ranch for troubled youth. Extraordinary faith, you don't ask God just to help you cope with your sickness, but to totally return you to radiant health. Extraordinary faith says, Lord, let's not stop with a small rented storefront. Let's build a magnificent temple to glorify you. Extraordinary faith is extreme faith where you believe that God, who's already created millions and millions of universes, can do everything and anything. When you hear the evolutionary explanation of the creation of this magnificent, ordered, artistic, aesthetic universe as being explained away, coming from a big bang or from a singularity, the random bumping of elements to create all of this, that to me seems absolutely absurd. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, our scripture about the process of creation, an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna named Mahavishnu lies down in a corner of the spiritual sky. From his navel, Nabha, grows a lotus flower. On the top of that lotus flower is the self-manifest, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma does austerities for 1,000 years in order to get the knowledge about how to create the universe. Finally, the Lord appears before him and it says, Tene Brahma rida ya adikavaya muyanti yatsuryo. Brahma creates the universe. Now someone may object, well true, that's just fantastic. I don't know about you, but if I have to choose the door, which is absurd, as opposed to the door, which is fantastic, miraculous, wonderful, I go for the door that's fantastic, miraculous, wonderful, because I don't believe that this universe came or emanated or was created by any entity other than a supreme intelligent designer. Extreme faith means to believe that that Lord who created millions of universes through a lotus flower and through Lord Brahma coming from his navel can do anything. And he won't do it in a prosaic way. He'll do it in an interesting, fascinating, fabulous way. Those who have extraordinary faith, extreme faith, radical faith, they don't make small plans. Let me go as far as my parents go. Let me do what they did. No, give me a double portion. Give me a triple portion. Let me do 2, 3, 4 times more than those who went before me. Let me have twice as much influence, twice as much wisdom, twice the friends, twice the creativity, twice the income, twice the peace, twice the prosperity. Well, true, that's kind of bold. Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? I'm the same that you are. We're children of the Almighty, Supreme Lord who created millions and millions of universes. And here's a secret. God loves to promote those who have faith in him above even he himself. After all, why does he have to do things personally? He doesn't need to get credit. He doesn't need to have our applause. He's fully satisfied, fully self-sufficient. But he enjoys, more than receiving accolades himself, he enjoys promoting those who have extraordinary faith in him. If you're familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, there's Arjuna and the righteous Pandavas on one side, there's Duryodhana and the forces of evil on the other side. There was a world battle which took 18 days, at the end of which Arjuna and the pious Pandavas triumphed over the forces of darkness. And the reason they were able to conquer the superior manpower, the superior warriors on the other side, was because Krishna transferred his power and did it through them. They got the credit. 5,000 years later, we think of Arjuna as the winner, as the victor of the Kurukshetra War. But here's a secret. Krishna himself could have done it all in an hour. He could have done it now. He can destroy universes with a click of a finger. But he prefers to work through those who have faith in him. And not necessarily the most powerful, the most talented, the most good-looking, the most well-connected. No, he may take those who we would never predict, who we would overlook, and because of the factor, the faith factor, he will take even ordinary people with extraordinary faith and promote them even above himself. Today, some of you have average faith, and that's good. You want to make it through the rough times. But if you want to see Krishna or God amaze you with his goodness, you need to take it one step further and come over into extraordinary faith. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect." Says great faith, not average faith. Says transcendental faith, not ordinary faith. I'm asking you today to take the limits off of God. Believe that you can rise higher. Believe that you can overcome every obstacle. Faith is what pleases God. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's like the sun globe. And we're just particles, infinitesimal particles emanating from him, like particles of sunshine. So our power, our strength, our wisdom is not that much. There's not that much we can do ourselves on our own. However, one thing is fully within our power is to exercise our faith. There's nothing that's more pleasing to God than the exercise of faith. If you exercise your faith in a greater way, God will show up in your life in a greater way. I heard this cute story. It's almost too cute. This little girl grew up on a horse farm, and her father was reducing the herd. He was getting old, didn't want to take care of all the horses. And for generations and generations, he'd specifically bred, chosen the stallions and the mares to get brown or spotted white and brown horses. He had this young daughter late in life. Her name was Jamie. She just wanted a colt in the worst way. And yet her desire to have a colt went against her father's desire to wind up the horse farm and do something else. She said, "Dad, the next colt that's born on the farm, can I have it? Can I train it? Can that be my colt?" And the father answered in such a way that everything was loaded in his favor and loaded against her. He said, "Honey, the next colt that's born in the farm is a black colt. That colt can be yours." And he's thinking, we've never had a black colt. They've all been brown and spotted. It's never going to happen. Jamie didn't just pray for the colt. She believed that the next colt would be black. She talked about her black colt, how she would ride the black colt, how she would train the black colt, when the black colt would be born, what she was going to name the black colt. She had not ordinary down on your knees, I hope, I pray, I believe. But she had extraordinary, bold faith. And the colt was born. That colt was not only black, the first black colt that had ever been born on the farm, but it had a white star in its forehead, and inside of the white star was a black J for Jamie. When you release your faith in extraordinary ways, you begin to see Krishna or God do extraordinary things. We have a story of a sage named Kardama Muni from thousands and thousands of years ago. He lived in a cave in the Himalayas. And to external appearances, he wasn't active. A materialistic person would have looked at him and said, "You're not putting money away. You're not rising on the corporate ladder. You're just sitting there chanting the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." But inside, he was exercising his faith muscle by chanting and taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. One day he thought, if I had a wife, I could serve the Lord in a higher capacity. If there were two of us as a couple working as one, I could increase my service to the Lord. He didn't ask for a wife for his own self-satisfaction or self-centeredness. He just thought that the two of them could do more than one of him on his own. Of course, he was penniless. He lived in a cave. And the thought crossed his mind that what young girl would want to live with me in a cave? No supermarkets, no 7-Elevens nearby. Very, very austere. But he thought, the Lord is all-powerful, and if he wants me to take my service to the next level, then he will supply me with a bride. It wasn't even a week later that the king of the whole area, northern India, with retainers and armies and bodyguards, came to the cave of Kardama Muni, bowed down. He said, you are in touch with the eternal. You are dedicated yourself to the Most High God. Your senses are under control. You are detached from this world, and I am a beggar. Would you possibly agree to accept my 16-year-old daughter as your wife? Kardama Muni said, the Lord can do anything. Not only did he accept Devahuti and holy matrimony, but later on, this couple's service was so extraordinary. The faith of the two of them combined was phenomenal, so much so that their first child was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an avatar of Godhead, descended in that particular yuga, that particular age. His name was Kapiladev, and he spoke a great, great transcendental philosophy. How does this relate to us? You've got a bad medical report from your last visit to the doctor. We have another report. Your financial statement says you'll never get out of debt. We have another statement. Our statement is that his favor surrounds you. Our statement is that when you tap with extraordinary faith into Krishna or God's goodness, he will bless you in extraordinary ways. Someone says, well, true, I don't want to bother Krishna. If he wants to get me out of debt, he'll do it. If he wants to cure me of this disease, he'll do it. If he wants to promote me at the office, he'll do it. No, you have not, because you asked not. My question is, do you ever go beyond asking God for your ordinary, mundane, daily, quotidian needs? Do you ever ask God for something extraordinary? If you've never asked, then you've never gotten. We're not denying reality to factor in the ultimate reality. We're not forgetting what the experts are saying about your finances, about your health, about your career, but we're recognizing that there's another expert, capital E, capital X, capital P, capital E, capital R, capital T, who holds you in the palm of his hand. How could Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which has 500 branches all over the world, how could he have done what he did? The history is he came to the United States of America at the age of 70 years old, in poor health. He didn't know anyone in America. He had only $7 to his name. He was transplanted to a totally alien culture. He saw snow for the first time the week that he arrived in New York. How did he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Back in India, Prabhupada's godbrothers, all of whom were initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta, some of them were younger than he was, some of them were healthier than he was, some of them might have been able to give a better lecture than he did, some of them might have been better connected. And yet, he was able to accomplish what none others were able to accomplish. You would have never predicted amongst the hundreds of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples that Prabhupada would be the one amongst them all to take Krishna consciousness and the culture of the Bhagavad Gita and spread it all over the world to start the Hare Krishna explosion. What was it about him? It was that he had extraordinary faith. He didn't settle where others would have settled. When all the odds were against his success, he didn't give up. He believed that where man doesn't see a way, God can always find a way. He was bold enough to ask for Krishna's favor, and Krishna took him to places that we couldn't even dream about. Well, what's holding us back today? It's easy to make excuses. Well, I come from the wrong family. I don't have the right connections. I've had this addiction too long. The economy's down. I've made too many mistakes in my past. No, Krishna can get you to where you need to go. Maybe for some of you, we can light a fire today. There's no obstacle too difficult for you to overcome. All you have to do is ask yourself, is my faith radical? Is it big enough to incur criticism? That's a good sign that you've got extreme faith. Critics are going to start saying, who do you think you are? Aren't you too big for your britches? If you're not stretching your faith, it's likely that nobody is commenting or criticizing on you. And if you're not stretching your faith, it's also likely that you're not tapping into everything that Krishna has in store for you. Fact is that God uses ordinary people with extraordinary faith to do extraordinary things. What would happen if each and every one of us asked, Lord, let me do twice what my parents did, twice what my guru did, twice what my CEO did. Let me have twice the influence, twice the wisdom, twice the favor, twice the income. If we're only in the mentality, can we only rise as high as our parents? Or if it's devotees, if we can only continue and maintain what Prabhupada started, that's ordinary faith. Extraordinary faith is we believe to go further. This isn't arrogance. Prabhupada wanted his disciples to take what he established, the seeds, to water them, to grow them, and produce far greater harvest than he did. I was in the room in Australia in 1972, just Prabhupada and myself. Prabhupada said to me, my Guru Maharaj, he established 64 temples in India, and I have established 108 temples all over the world. I have done twice what he did. Do you think Bhaktisiddhanta would call that arrogance? No, Bhaktisiddhanta would be smiling, saying, that's my disciple, that's my boy. Every father wants their son to outdo them, to go to higher levels than they did. There's nothing more delightful to a father than to imagine his son doing 2, 3, 4 times what he would do. We were in Mayapur in 1977. Mayapur is our world headquarters in West Bengal. And devotees gather from all over the world in March. It's the birthday of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada was there. This is March of 1977. He was already ill. He was to pass away in November later on that same year. He was giving a lecture. It was a big hall. About 700 devotees had gathered from all over the world. Whatever Prabhupada was talking about, he broke that off. And he looked at all his 20-year-old disciples and he began to cry. He said, I'm an old man. I may go at any time. Each one of you has at least 50 years of preaching ahead of you. 50 years. And he thought of all that we could do. He said, I opened 108 centers. If each one of you could just open 10 centers, or 15 centers, or 5 centers, what would it mean to the people of the world? Prabhupada, as he was exiting and leaving the stage, you could see he was transcendentally envious of us, who had entire careers of faithfulness and extraordinary things to do on behalf of the Lord. Robert Morrison lived in London, very humble circumstances. He worked 12 hours a day as a shoemaker's apprentice, a little cubbyhole in London, tap, tap, tapping shoes. He dreamed of being a missionary, and not just being a missionary, but going to, and this is his actual words, I would like to be stationed in that part of the missionary field where the difficulties were greatest and to all human appearances the most insurmountable. China fit that bill. In those days in China, if you just spoke to someone about God, anybody could come with a sword and cut you down right on the street. Why did you just cut that person? He was speaking about God. Okay, good job. Thumbs up. We'll give you a garland. He began to teach himself Chinese in London. Eventually, he got passage. He went to China, and when he landed in Shanghai, Someone asked him, do you expect to make any spiritual impact on the Chinese? He answered, I do not. But I do expect that Almighty God will through me. If you know anything about China, you know that the China mission was the most and continues to be the most successful theological mission in the history of China. If we step up and believe the uncommon, then what is extraordinary for us will become ordinary for future generations. 50 years ago, Hare Krishna was the lunatic fringe. Today, 50,000 people come to, of all places, Spanish Fork, Utah, end of March. They can't wait for it. They count the days, and they chant Hare Krishna like there's no tomorrow. It's thunderous, it's massive, it's epic. It's the biggest chanting festival party in the whole world. 50 years ago, you couldn't have even imagined that. In fact, I remember in 1977, I was the president of the Berkeley Temple, and I organized the annual Festival of the Chariots, but in those days we liked to hire a bagpipe band to go first, and then we'd have the chanting party, and then the chariots would come later. So as we were mustering in the Japanese tea gardens, ready to begin the procession into the Golden Gate Park, I overheard one of the bagpipers say to the other bagpiper, sure, I'll play for the lunatic fringe, their money is green. Needless to say, I never hired that band again. And you fast forward now to 2014, 2013. In Utah Valley, of all places, there are tens of thousands of youth who simply cannot wait to chant Hare Krishna on the occasion of the Festival of Colors. 40 years ago, vegetarians were considered weird. Vegetarians were considered freaks. I remember when I grew up in Ligonier, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, my father had a golf partner named Bill Yates. Bill Yates was a vegetarian. He was the vice principal of the nearby Greensburg High School. He played actually a pretty good game of golf, but he was less than 5 feet tall. He had a curvature of the spine. He had a humpback. And I remember thinking as a 12-year-old at the time that the reason he had those deformities was because he had a vegetarian diet. We've come a long way, baby. I've come a long way, baby. Nowadays, the vegetarians in the world number more than the combined populations of the United States of America, Great Britain, Germany, and France. They were a nation, they would be the greatest nation in the world with the capability of changing the course of history. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Krishna or God wants you to go further. He wants you to set a new standard. He wants you to believe for a double portion. Be bold and say, Krishna, let me go twice as far as those have gone before me. Maybe you're facing a situation, it looks too late, it looks too far gone. Someone said the greatest thing that's holding us back is the belief that something is holding us back. Let me challenge you today to have an even now faith. The medical report says you're done. Your marriage is on its last legs. Your child hasn't spoken to you in 2 years. You're down to your final unemployment check. That's when you have to dig your heels in and say, Krishna, I know even now you can still turn it around. You can bring the dead back to life. Even though it looks like I'll never be able to accomplish my dreams, even now I believe that my best days are still ahead of me. When you have radical faith, you know it's not over until Krishna says it's over. Krishna can bring back dead dreams, dead health, dead marriages, dead finances. It is said that when you are down to nothing and you stay in faith, Krishna is up to something. Shake off the discouragement, going around all negative and defeated. God is still on the throne. What you thought was the end is going to be a new beginning. Before Prabhupada came to America, he tried to establish and spread Krishna consciousness in India. And a very wealthy man donated him the use of a compound in a city called Jhansi. Now, Jhansi is not the biggest city in India. It's not on the level of Madras or Bombay, but it's not the smallest city either. It's somewhere in between. this new compound, Prabhupada started having regular morning and evening programs. He would print and pass out flyers to the local people, observe the festival days. And he worked for about 4 years, and he was just starting to have an impact. People started to know about him, started to recognize the philosophy and appreciate it. The rich man took away the property. He evicted Prabhupada. Prabhupada reminisced. At the time, he said to Krishna, he said, Krishna, I had so little. I had so little, and you took away even that. Krishna wanted to leverage him out of the limited space of Jhansi and get him into what Prabhupada called the open field. He wanted to get him out so that he could start a worldwide spiritual revolution. If you have an extraordinary faith, a radical faith, and even now faith, Krishna will do the extraordinary. He'll take you from an addiction. He'll take you from an abusive childhood. He'll take you from a financial hole. He'll take you from a handicap or a long-term sickness. He can even snatch you from the very jaws of death to bring you to the point of impacting the world, making a mark on your generation, leaving the world much better than when you came into it. He'll give you favor that no one can deny. He'll turn impossibilities around. He can resurrect dead dreams. And when it's all said and done, you'll be able to say, Krishna has been good to me. He's shown up and shown out in my life in amazing ways. If you'll step from ordinary faith to extraordinary faith, you'll experience this life as a thrill at every moment. And in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare.